Hello to a little mini, is that what I call music podcast?
Yeah.
We're going to do these to sort of fill in the gaps between the main ones. And basically the idea is we're going to use the now trivia box.
Yeah.
And ask each other questions, which just will set up an excuse to talk about a pop song or musician of some kind.
Yeah, age 12 plus. We're both over 12, yeah.
That's true. If we have any listeners under the age of 12, please stop listening now.
Yeah, you could accidentally learn some trivial fact about 80s music.
And it would be too much.
It'd be too much.
And we wouldn't want to be held responsible for that. But no, yeah, that's the idea of this. It's just a filler podcast where we're going to use some now paraphernalia, just some of the wider now universe.
Yeah, there's a lot of wider now universe.
Yeah, so we'll get around to the board game one day, maybe, for a Christmas special or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But for now, we're going to focus on the now trivia box and we're just going to chat some pop. Okay. Yeah. Okay, then, David, you're going to go first, so hit me with your trivia.
Right. Who released a cover of the Pet Shop Boys' West End Girls in the early 90s?
I probably should know this.
I won't say the options, I'll just see. I'd like to think what you just come up with.
Is it Boyzone?
No, although that is one of the options, options that the card gives. No, it's East 17.
Oh, and okay.
I chose this solely because I feel a weird need to hear E17 covering West End Girls.
Okay, so shall we give it a quick listen?
Yeah,
and then we'll
do that.
Be back with our impressions.
So yeah, that exists.
Yeah, we've just given it a listen. It's not one, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's familiar, but maybe it's because it's not a hugely daring cover version.
No, and they've just E17'd it.
Yeah, and they have E17'd all over it.
Yeah.
From the slightly rubbish synths to...
They're kind of, like, it's an almost cute attempt to look a bit hard.
Well, and to sound a bit hard. He's listening like this. It's
Tony Mortimer
sort of
going all
sensitive,
serious.
Sensitive, but rough at the same time. And it's kind of comical. It's just...
And it's weird that it's on... Seemingly, it's less... obscure than I assumed from the question. It's on Now 25.
It's on Now 25. It's 93, I think it came out.
And
it's weird got to number 11 in the UK charts, which isn't hugely high, but it's
weird that I tend to think that I'm fairly au fait with, like, around that kind of time music. But I had no idea this was a thing. Although, Now 25 wasn't one
but
I
it's
had.
It's another one where it's like a cover version, though, and it's not a different enough cover version that people, like, on, if it was on, like, the Radio Gold, Hearts, whatever, those kind of channels, if they were playing a version of this song, it would always be Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah.
Because this one, it's not, like, radically different, and it's inferior.
Plus, you know, you can't imagine anyone going, if you ask someone who E17 are, oh, are they the ones that covered West End Girls?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So it is like it's faded from the memory, but clearly at the time it was on the radio a lot and people bought it or whatever. But no, it's an entirely forgettable cover version. It's interesting in a way because it's on a certain level. I like it more than I like other E17 songs and stuff because it's a better song to begin with. But they are doing a bad thing with it,
and that's
a bit upsetting.
I almost wonder, the fact that the video, there's some point in the green screen or whatever it is, where it zooms into a Ordnance Survey map of Walthamstow, that you wonder if they've just chosen the song because it's got East End in it.
Maybe.
And
yeah,
it's, oh, look, because we're from the East End.
Yeah, and mine, that does, now you say it, that's definitely what a record label suggested at some point. And it's one of those weirdly parochial things as well, where E17, obviously, I guess, of a very well-remembered, not well-remembered,
well,
but people do remember them in the UK, if they're of a certain age, but I can't imagine that they crossed over to America.
I almost wonder, short of maybe Stay, which gets played to death every Christmas, I almost wonder if Brian Harvey kind of running over his own head while leaning out to get
what
potatoes.
He's best known for.
It's kind of usurped the memory of most of their music.
I mean, yeah, probably a little bit for people, especially for people who didn't, who went, especially maybe young girls at the time. Like, I've got friends who are still very fond of E17 they were the bad boy, bad boy band.
Bad boy.
It's not a claim that you
them.
Really want, is it? So yeah, I think they do live on in some people's memories, but I think even my friends who still like E17 would probably struggle to remember this version of West End Girls. So should we move on to the next quiz question?
Go on then.
Okay, then. So my question to you, David, is who is the featured artist on Katy Perry's single, California Girls?
Oh,
I do have options here, but if you want to have a guess first, as you made me do that.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. What are the options?
The options are Snoop Dogg, Enrique Iglesias, or Ne-Yo.
Snoop Dogg.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Do you know the song?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So we'll give it a listen and we'll give our opinions on it after. You could travel the world, but nothing comes close to the golden coast. Once you party with us, you'll be falling in love. California girls were unforgettable. Daisy Dukes, bikinis. Okay, then. That was quite an experience.
Yeah.
I did know this song before, which is part of why I wanted to expose you to it again, even if you had heard
like
it.
I did kind of know it, but it clearly shows you how oblivious I am in more recent years of chart music, that's one of the biggest selling songs of 2010.
Man, that was number one in the UK and in America.
And
8th biggest song of the year in the UK and 4th biggest song of the year in America.
And it just rings fairly vague bells for me rather than having any, you know, particularly strong memories.
I would say that, and it might be just because I've been listening to quite a lot of pop music lately, but it's very recognizable for me as soon as it comes on. I know exactly how it goes. and it is insistent and catchy in a way while also being sort of skin crawlingly awful in many other ways.
Oh yeah, the video for starters.
Well, this is it. It's so difficult.
Horrendous.
It's to divorce it from images of her spraying whipped cream from her tits and stuff like that. It's just a really odd embodiment of the uncomfortableness of Katy Perry, where she sort of does inspiring songs for little girls and bizarre disco self-objectification anthems. And I don't understand who her audience is, and I don't think she understands.
Hard to know.
This was 2010, so maybe it's just like I'm compressing her career in my head. Maybe she was being sexy pop girl at this point, and she's since matured into
anthemic. Thing of, I think 2010, it's probably still pretty early on in her career.
Yeah,
so
I couldn't
maybe
even begin to comment.
Still, maybe at this point there was still a sense of finding what her demographic is.
But either way, it was on Now 75, the first track on Now 75, as well as I think, and was it Now 35 or something in America? So again, getting to the point, this was massive hit.
Yeah.
It's got a terrible Snoop Dogg verse.
Pretty bad.
Where he's just sort of, it just sounds like he can't be bothered. And I know that's kind of Snoop Dogg's thing anyway. He's laid back. But at least if you listen to the sort of lyrics, it sounded like he was trying to some extent. Whereas now just,
Like he clearly just kind of rocked up on the day.
He's hit a point in his career now where he can just get by on being Snoop Dogg. Because he sounds like Snoop Dogg, and so he just has to say some shit, and then that'll do.
He's recognisably him.
It's very weird that he's become a sort of, again, like, think of the genre this is pitched at sort of teenage girls, I'm guessing, for the most part. And Snoop Dogg is a well-known misogynist in his lyrics, at least.
Yeah, and there's a weird bit in the song, isn't there, that essentially plays on that, where you hear... Katy Perry's response of, oh,
Oh.
It's a bit, that's...
But it's almost Kenny Everett camp. It's ridiculous. But again, I can... And because we also had a quick look at the 2010 top 10 list by a YouTuber I really like and a pop music critic called Todd in the Shadows, and it came in at number 2 in his list for the year. He did apologize profusely beforehand because he knows he's done something wrong. But at the same time, I can get why he has put it there, because it is... I can get why it was a big hit, because you can hear it being on all the radio, things being played in clubs, because it has that sort of, it's campy and it's catchy, and that's sometimes all you need for a big hit. Hello Aqua and Barbie Girl.
And it's a memorable tune, I'll give it that. It's just the annoying thing of her vocal being auto-tuned to shit.
Don't get me wrong, it's objectively awful in almost every single way, but sometimes it's like a perfect storm of awfulness, and that's precisely why it appeals to people. But
it's not necessarily trying to be anything like higher brow.
I don't think it's high art by anyone's imagination. I don't think even Katy Perry would claim that. But it's got a beat, and it's got a catchy chorus, and it's got a ridiculous video. I don't know, I'm really stuck on whether it thinks it's sexy or whether it's just an entire thing as a joke anyway. And I think with the general campiness of the song and the video together, I think it's probably knowingly stupid.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to tell. I don't know. If you've never heard it before, go and watch the video, and I'm sorry. But it needs to be seen to be believed.
Yeah.
I don't think we really need to spend...
It's just a use of need. I think I was a bit, I don't know if anyone needs to see it. I mean,
it needs to be seen to be believed. Not that they need to see it.
In context.
It's that if you simply describe the whipped cream thing, it really doesn't have the effect of seeing it. Seeing it is a completely different level of what the flip is going on here. So I think that's all I meant on that front. But I don't think we need to waste too much more time talking about this.
No.
We can wrap up this little mini podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Is That What I Call Music? If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at
davidsband@gmail.com,
or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at
@NowMusicPod.